All right, kiddos, come on, meet me over here. How's everybody today? Feeling good? Feeling good. Good to see you today. All right, one verse I want to read to you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says there, now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. Let me tell you what that means. Means God has put each one of us in this church. That's the body. That's how He looks at the church, is like being a body. And we have different parts that we perform, just like your physical body. Like right here, we got a big toe right here. And we got a little toe. Let me ask you something. If I right now got a hammer and bang that little toe, would you feel it? Yes, you would. And you know what? You'd be little toe all over. That'd be what you would feel. And that's how we need to be with each other. Every person here, a part of this body of Christ. Now, even when we're not here, we still belong to one another. John, there's somebody that would like to be here today. I want you to turn around. You can look back there or up here. Who would like to be here today, who has a message from us. And he's part of the body too. Can you guess who that might be?
We're out here on LaRoche Avenue, and we've come to the room of Forrest Gump, Forrest Wall. He's already threatening me. And this message is for his church family that he'd like to be with.
Yes.
Forrest, what do you got to say to everybody?
Well, I miss everybody, and I love you all. And let the Lord be with y'all, and let the Holy Spirit just ring out through y'all. And I love you.
Amen.
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 Amen. Now, Forrest couldn't be here with us physically today, but he's with us here in spirit because he's part of the body. He's part of our family. Just like when we have a family member that goes somewhere else. Now, right now, Mr. Forrest is living at Riverview Nursing Home. And if any of y'all would like to go by and see him, he would love to see you. He's in room 737. And get your mommy and daddy to take you over there one day so you can see Forrest. But we're part of the body, and we need every part of the body, don't we? You know, what if I didn't have one leg? I'd have to hop around on one. Well, what if I didn't have any leg? What if I didn't have ears? What if I didn't have a mouth? You see, we need every part of the body. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for all of these children. And I thank you for Brother Forrest. Lord, we join him in this prayer. Holy Spirit, we want you to ring out today. Let us truly feel the bond that we have together, all being part of your body, Jesus. Amen. Okay, y'all can go to Kid Zone. If you have your Bible today, will you turn with me to the 5th chapter of Genesis? Genesis chapter 5. Odie, it's so good to have you today. And glad to have your family here today. Welcome today. We're glad you're here. Y'all are a blessing to our lives. We sure do miss you. I like that new hairstyle you got there. And I'm going to try not to use too many idioms today that will be hard to translate. But I can't make any promises. Okay. You remember years ago when when the little general's running mate on the when they were having the debates for president of the United States, they got to the vice presidential debates, and one of the candidates made this statement. He asked two questions that day. He said, because he looked around and obviously his statement was he was over his head. He said, "Who am I and why am I here? Who are you and why are you here?" And I'm not talking about in this building. I'm talking about on earth. At this time in history, who are you and why are you here? What's your significance? Look at all the things in our society people do to be significant. It's like they're trying to, we are trying to fill up this hole that you can never fill it up with enough stuff. What do we do to try to be significant and find our significance? Well, some folks try to find it in wealth, in money. That's a big thing in our society. Big thing in the West, money. Money equals significance. You know, you're a big dog. If you have money, I mean, you could be good for nothing. But if you've got money, I mean, you've seen some of the interviews of people. I mean, there's some people that have poor excuses for human beings in the things that they've done and continue to do intentionally to others. But because they have money, people view them as being significant. Some say position and power brings you significance. What position? What rank are you? How many things in life, in our lives every day, are all about a pecking order? Think of those things. Now, I'm not against experience. I'm not against those things. But how many times do we trust that, the pecking order? The position, power and influence. For some, we struggle with this idea, well, we've got to be connected to certain people. Because if I'm connected to them, that means I'm significant. It's like I'm tagging on to their significance. Riding around on the coattail of who they are. And suddenly my whole who I am just gets blended into that. I mean, look at every rock concert that comes to town. How many groupies are there that just follow these people around the country? And they're chewing them up. And they have no identity whatsoever. No significance except in the significance of someone else. Some of us have tried to gain significance in our lives by gaining the approval of others. You know, McGee wrote that book, Search for Significance. And if you haven't put that book on your list of books you need to read, I'd put it on my list. No, you won't agree with everything in there, but I guarantee you one thing, the Lord will bust your chops with that book. You won't be able to read it and come away the same person. And the reason for that is all McGee does is just bring scriptural principles and put them in his book and sell 2 million copies. But he makes a big deal in there about approval. Some of us we become approval junkies that we do this to gain the approval. There's some of you sitting here right now that are still trying to get the approval of your mom or your dad. In some cases, your mom and dad are dead. But you're still playing it. You're still living your life like you, and you just want to hear that. You want to hear that approval. That's a natural thing. But we take it to unnatural means. You'll see in just a moment. And some of us, this is another one that McGee mentions, does a great deal with, this whole idea of performance. How well did you do? And you categorize the rest of your life based on that. There's some countries right now around the world that where education is rationed, where the children are tested at an early age, and at that point in time, they're imprinted with everything that's going to happen in their lives and that society the rest of time. Whew. We may shake our heads about that, but some of us may have done the same thing with people. Is it about your performance and how well you did? One of the things I used to try to encourage my children with when they were in school was to, when they'd come home and they had not done well on a test and they'd kind of get discouraged about it. They'd studied a lot. They'd worked a lot and still didn't do well. Say to them, I said, look, you could devise a test that your teacher can't pass in their subject. Right? You know it's right. Is it about the performance? A lot of guys on the trading deadline, July 31st in the Major League Baseball would tell you, yeah, it's all about performance for that little part of their lives. But then what's after baseball? What's after that? So, I'm going to read a passage of Scripture to you out of the fifth chapter of Genesis. And you're not going to understand this. But bear with me, okay? This is the Word of God. So listen to it, beginning in verse 1. And this is the book of the generations of Adam. As soon as I say that, some of you say, man, why would you want to read about the generations? Well, it's because of our ignorance that we get bored about this stuff. Because there's a lot that is written between the lines here. A lot we don't have time for today, but you'll see some of it. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, He made him in the likeness of God. And He created him male and female, and He blessed them and named them man in the day when they were created. Another account of creation. When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness. Now, what do you think that means, he lived 130 years? You know what I think it means? I think it means he lived 130 years. In fact, I believe that's what the Hebrew would bear out, is that he lived 130 years by this point in time. He had a son in his own likeness. Get the picture here now? According to his image, and he named him Seth. Now, had he had already a couple of sons? Who'd he had? Cain and Abel. What happened to them? Whew, man. Cain went off on his brother, killed his brother in the field, and then he's running for his life and becomes a marked man. Another sermon for another day. Verse 4. Then the days of Adam after he became the father of Seth were 800 years. What do you think that means in the Hebrew? 800 years. It's funny to me how we stumble over stuff like this and we'll say, yeah, God spun the world into existence, But there's no way he could allow a man to live this long on the earth. That's inquiring minds want to know how you could believe one thing and the other becomes a stretch for you. And he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Adam that he lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and became the father of Enosh. Then Seth lived 807 years. He became the father of Enosh. He had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. There's a cadence to this, okay? I want you to get the cadence. Enosh lived 90 years, and he became the father of Kenan. Then Enosh lived 815 years after he became the father of Kenan. He had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and y'all got to get with it now. If you want this horse to move, you got to whip him a little bit now. And he died. Okay. Kenan lived 70 years and became the father of Mahalalel. Boy, why would you name somebody that? Because it means something. Then Kenan lived 840 years after he became the father of Mahalalel, and he had other sons and daughters, and so the years of Kenan were 910 years, and? All right. Mahalalel lived 65 years, became the father of Jared. And Mahalalel lived 830 years after he became the father of Jared. He had other sons and daughters. So the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and Jared lived 162 years. He became the father of Enoch. Then Jared lived 800 years after he became the father of Enoch. He had other sons and daughters, and so the days of Jared were 962 years, and Enoch lived 65 years, became the father of Methuselah. Woo! Remember Methuselah? Why is he famous? Oldest man. Oldest Methuselah, 969. Then Enoch walked with God. Wait a sec, he's changed it now. Walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. He had other sons and daughters, and so the days of Enoch were 365 years, and he didn't die. Read verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He walked with God. Let's get a picture of that, what that looks like. But to get a picture of it, we've got to go back to God's original intention in the garden. What had been His original intention for His creation? What was He doing with Adam and Eve every day in the cool of the day? What was He doing with Adam and Eve? He was walking with them in the garden. In the New Testament, Paul would coin this phrase via the Holy Spirit when he would show us that the Christian life is like a walk with God. We're walking with Him. We're living it out. Turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Probably won't get to the Jude passage today, but there's several passages that mention Enoch. But I want you to see in the Hall of Fame of faith here. Okay? Hebrews 11, faith chapter in the New Testament. You ready? Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Pretty awesome definition right there, isn't it? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. New American Standard says, it is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval. Now let's talk about some of these people from the past. Who were they? Verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. What does that mean? God spoke it into existence. Hang on here, because this is an important concept. He spoke it into existence. So that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. What does that mean? He made something out of nothing. He's God. That's what creation is. Creation is not deduction. Creation is not bringing stuff together and then you're going to bring something out. Creation means absolutely bringing something out of absolute nothing. And that's what he did. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. He brought a blood offering. His heart was right. Whichever one of those choose or both of them, I happen to believe both of those things about that. I know Abel's heart was right when he brought his offering to the Lord. I believe it was also the fact that he brought a blood offering required of the Lord, which would be a picture of things later to come. He offers to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. What we see in Genesis 15 that when it talks about Abraham having that, that he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. It wasn't because he was righteous of himself. This was not, Abel was not righteous because he was righteous of himself, because he had done everything right. No, he was a sinner. No, he was righteous because he had operated in faith. Key concept here, faith. He was trusting in the Lord. He was trusting. And so in that sense, he is putting on God's righteousness. The fancy word for it is God imputes his righteousness to us. That would come through his Son as we would receive the gift of salvation. He obtained a testimony which was that he was righteous. And God testifying about his gifts through faith, though he is dead, yet speaks. So let me ask you, does Abel's testimony still speak today? It just did. I just read it to you again. Well, you'll see it again. Now look what he says next. By faith, Enoch was taken off. What kind of faith? The kind of faith that he just got through talking about. The saving faith. This faith that means I'm going to trust God with everything. It's none of me and it's all of Him. It's not where I release every finger that I've got holding on to the bar up there except my little finger and I'm holding on by it. No, it's not that kind of faith. It's a faith that says, I'm going to take the nasty plunge. I'm going to release all together. And I'm going to say, God, I'm counting on you at last for everything. I'm counting on you for all of salvation. Now, we sit here together. I just want to let you know, if you're professing faith in Christ today, what you're actually saying is, I am trusting Jesus in His finished work on the cross, that He arose on the third day, ascended back to the Father. He receives me in faith and trust. I'm trusting what He did for me in my life. I'm not trusting anything that I did. Because if I did any part of it, that means sin had a part of it. Because you see, I come as a sinner. And the only way I can have my sin forgiven is through what we sang about a moment ago. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Doesn't just wash away part of our sin, washes away all of our sin. So Enoch, by faith. You see, in a Greek sentence, the order of the sentence tells you the importance of the words. It starts with the word faith, the word pistuo, the word I'm throwing my entire weight upon him. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. Whew. Is that not powerful? God just takes him. He's out for a walk one day with Jesus. And he takes him. He's out for a walk and the Lord takes him. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Why was he pleasing to God? What did he just say in Hebrew? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So here's a man, Enoch, who is walking in communion with the Lord. He's knowing the mind of the Lord because he's walking with the Lord. That's what it says. Go back to the Genesis passage. Verse 24, and he walked with God and was not, for God took him. There's another guy that got an experience like this, didn't have to go through that, remember? Remember who it was? Elijah. You know, and Elisha is trying to get that his junior there, his junior partner, he's trying to get that double portion. He's trying to get all he can get before that chariot comes down and swoops him away. But there's another fellow. What's the picture here? What's the picture? What has all that got to do with significance? What's it got to do with our lives? Let me tell you, it's got everything to do with our lives. Because at last, if we're going to be significant, we've got to look at what the truth is. What the truth is about life. If we're going to be significant, our lives have started, we've got to start living our lives to an audience of one. Like there's no other opinion, really. There are no other opinions that matter. Are they really going to matter? Is it really going to matter what that guy at work thinks about your relationship to the Lord when Jesus comes calling for you? Is it going to matter all the stuff that you think is important today? How much money you have? Is that your significance? If that's your significance, let me tell you how long that lasts beside eternity. About that long. You see, what a great love affair that God would just, He would come and He would give us this little picture of what it's going to be like. You see, all along, when you read the Scripture, even when the Jews are not doing what they're supposed to do, that there's always a remnant. Even when it seems like everything's going to hell in a handbasket, there's always this ray of hope that is there because He's always holding out the standard for us. Now, I want you to know today, listen to me closely. There's a lot of you, there's a lot of garbage going on in your life. There's a lot of mess. There's a lot of stuff. You look in the world, I get so mad reading the headlines sometimes. I mean, I just have to close up the computer. You look at all this stuff And it can become very discouraging. You look in your own family. You look in your relationships with friends and those who are around you. And you ask, Lord, I need something. I need a ray of hope. I'm showing it to you today. I'm showing it to you today. That God's got a better way. He's got a better plan. And your significance, who you are, what makes you who you are, is not in all that stuff, but is found only in Him and in your relationship with Him. You don't need a marriage. You don't need money. You don't need brothers and sisters. You don't need fill in the blank. All those things, those come after. The one who makes you significant. Rick said it very well. He was giving testimony this morning about and told some wonderful stories about Regina and what a great woman of God she was this morning. Just in case you want to get the tape of that, Lady Regina, and listen to that earlier today as he was teaching. But he made a great statement. He was giving testimony about when he was a single man. Before he got married, he said, I didn't need another person to make me complete. Do you hear me? If that's the way you're looking at marriage, if that's the way you're looking at relationships, brothers and sisters, you got it wrong. Now, God uses those things in our lives. But there's one big piece of the puzzle that's got to be there. Is the one who does make you complete. That you will not be able to spend eternity without Him. You will not be able to live this life in fullness without Him. You will not be able to find, young people, that person that you're looking for to spend the rest of your life with without Him. You will not be able to provide without Him. Give us this day our daily bread, we pray. You see, it's only by Him. Only by His hand. Enoch got it right, didn't he? By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. There, some would see in that a picture of the rapture, of his coming to get his church. All these pictures that they're there that come from the love of God. You see, you matter deeply to Him. God's after that walk with you. He's after that relationship with you. Let me tell you, today, you may think you're far from Him, and you may even tell me today, Dusty, I don't believe in Him. But I'll tell you today, like I told you last week, He believes in you. He believed in you enough that He died in your place on the cross so that this walk could take place. He's ready to meet you where you are. He's not asking you to run up the road and catch up with Him. That's not how it works, because that would be about your works. He's waiting on you to just stop running away from Him and turn and embrace Him and say, My Lord. And let me tell you, if you're a believer and the theme of your life is looking for His hand and not His heart, you're in trouble. Because you'll be victimized by every man-made, manipulative, religious scheme that there is out there. And there are some atrocious ones right now that are taking place in the earth. And in the West, in particular, they're taking advantage of people that key in on that what's in it for me idea about a relationship with God. That's not it. It's not seeking His hand. It's seeking His heart. His heart is for you. It's a heart of sacrifice. And He's the one who makes you significant. And you know what gives Him thrill? When He can look at you in your life and see how you're living your life, and when you say by your words, by your action, by your heart, when you say, yeah, that's my daddy. That's who I belong to. Phew. You know what that makes a daddy feel like? Whew. I didn't get to experience that firsthand until we had children. And I'd see them when they were just little fellows, just turn around and when they'd see me or Audrey, they'd just see us and their eyes would light up and they'd come running. Phew, man, you can't describe that because that touches the very essence of your being, about your identity. Maybe the question I need to ask you today is not who are you, but whose are you? To whom do you belong? To whom are you living yet? Life out for. Just a moment, we're going to have a time of prayer and we'll invite you to come. The altar will be open. To come and let the Lord minister to you. You need to come and pray. Maybe you need to get someone else that is here. Come and pray at the altar with you. Sit where you are. Doesn't matter. He's passing by right now for His walk. He's walking through. Won't you join Him right now? If you've never received Jesus in your life, today is the day. Maybe you've known Jesus a long time, and maybe your relationship with Him has become stale and manipulative. I'm asking you today, embrace the one who is able to just take people up right now. Could He do that to Corey right now? Just take him up right now? Could do that to Gary, John, Audrey, Teresa. Hi, Chief. Let's pray. Lord, as we open the altar now, I thank You. Thank You, Lord, that today our significance is in you and in our relationship with you. There is no other in the earth, Lord. We stand and we praise your name. There is no other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless your name today. Lord, come right now. Come in this place. Lord, some of us have just been, we've had our ladder up against the wrong wall for so long. Lord, Lord, may we in simplicity come today with our trust in you alone. The simplicity of faith. Thank you. The altar's open. Do you believe that? He changes lives. Now, I don't know if you've gotten wet with any overflow from the Holy Spirit today, but why don't we go out of here and do a little sloshing? Okay? And so the people around us can get wet and feel the power of God. Not intimidation, but the power of His love. That love that just seeks to save that which is lost. And that's us. Has God answered any prayer today? Anybody? He has for me today. Let's continue to pray together. I send you out. We'd love to get those cards from you. There's a basket in the back, baskets up front. Cards, if you have an offering to bring, you drop them in there. I send you out in the name of the Father, His authority, the love of the Son of God, Yeshua, our Savior, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Sic 'em.